And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, and but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we desire to be close to you, and we're thankful, Lord, that you would even open the door for us to be able to do so. Lord, please now open our hearts and minds. Lord, move this young man out of the way, that, Father, it be your word we hear tonight, or hear this morning. Help us, Lord. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Earlier this week, Glenda sent me a text message about a news report. And it was right around the time I was reading this passage of scripture in my reading. And I was, yeah, you ever get those things on the same day? Those really fun coincidences that are just God being anonymous. And I was laughing about that. I was like, yeah, the title of the news report was Losing Religion or something like that. And I didn't even bother looking at it because I already just assumed the worst, which I guess isn't always good. You should look at things before you condemn them. But I they're going to put on the news a report about people who lose faith. And again, I do firmly believe that if anybody is not qualified to talk about it, secular humanity, it would be one of them. And what we really desire is a closeness with God. But what we have found is something that's not quite real. Now, we got held up on Wednesday because of the snow. Now, y'all got held up on Wednesday. I was here watching it come down. And I was shoveling a little bit to make sure we could do it. It got to a point where I'm looking at there, I'm like, it is just foolish to try to keep this facade on. So for those of you like, oh wow, it feels like it's been forever since I've been here. I understand, but I was here. Trust me, I made that drive home. You would have not have wanted it. So if you're upset about us not having church on Wednesday, come talk to me. I'll tell you about my trip home. But all the same, we weren't here. Why? Because of snow. You know, I like snow. This isn't a snack that I brought up here. I brought some snow. And, you know, I like snowballs. You guys like snowballs? Now, don't get nervous, front row. Brother Mike, it's fine. My mom taught me how to throw. You're good. But it's cold, and it's fun, and if you've got the right crowd, it's a lot of fun. And sometimes people treat religion like snowballs, right? It's a fun activity, right? It's community. It's getting close to folks. It's all the things, right? It's a family thing. It's a group thing. It's where my friends are. It's good to hear preaching, and sometimes there's emotion involved, and we like that. The problem is that it's not really marketable. It freezes the hands. It gets uncomfortable. And I've got to have it within a certain temperature range. And if I let it sit for too long, it begins to melt and it gets uncomfortable. So what have a lot of people done with religion? Well, they made it fake. Right? So here's what I do. I got to take the temperature away. People don't like that we preach on sin, so we got to change that just a little bit. And I tell you what, sometimes the hymns aren't very modern, so we got to change that just a little bit and make it more marketable. So now it's soft and it's cottony and it's not hard and it's not obtrusive and there aren't little rocks that get into it sometimes and there aren't little ice bits and it doesn't drip down your face, so it's a lot more marketable. And all of a sudden they realize that this marketable religion, well, you could buy these a dime a piece on the internet. You get marketable religion everywhere. So what do? We got to make it look pretty.
These are the snowballs we use at the kids' party. And we let them toss it back and forth. And you know, it was fun. I had a lot of fun watching them do it. I can't remember if I did it or not. I'm sure I might have. But it's a lot of fun. And would you believe a few of the faces got knocked off of these? It happens. It's not always pretty. It doesn't always stay pretty. But oh, we got to make it more. Hold on. There we go. We got to make it more marketable. I've got to make it more fun. And then they sit there. And we put on channel 12. And channel 12 sits there and goes, man, snow isn't what it used to be. That's because what we did is we created a false product. And that's what it is. It's a product, by the way. Marketable Christianity. It's a product sold by a franchise type church. I use that phrase a lot, right? That's what it is. I'm buying into it. And what do they want? They want more money, right? It's a pyramid scheme is really what it is, right? You got the people up top raking in all the money. You got the people down at the bottom paying all the money in, hoping to get something out of it, right? So, but it was fun, right? Okay, I know there was some issues, right? And don't get mad at me here. You know what? There was that one member of the church did that one thing. And that still wasn't perfectly pretty. And you know what? That one person, they did catch one in the eye and it scratched the cornea. And people did get hurt. And that wasn't very cool. But it just doesn't seem like it is what it used to be. Why? Because we've changed the gospel. We've tried to change the Bible. We've tried to make it as marketable as possible. And what I've done is I've sold you a ton of what you already have. Comfort, community, and cheap acceptance. It's what it is. And we said, well, you know, why are people losing faith? You know what? Because it's very, very hard. Right, kids? It's very, very hard. Whoop. See, my mom taught me that. It's okay, we'll try it again. All right? Now, it's hard to get people to buy something fake. I mean, you saw it. Does this look real to you? I can hold it a certain way, and oh, look at that. How many of you started to notice that it wasn't dripping? I caught it. Some of you are sitting there going, the longer I held it, you're watching to see how long. He's holding that for a long time for it to be real snow, right? You pick up on it, right? I'm not acting right around it, right? If repentance is such a big deal, why are the deacons doing this? Why is the pastor doing this? Why is Sister So-and-so doing this? If this is her, why are they acting why aren't they acting like they're holding something real? Right? And if it's real, why does it look the way it does? Where's God in this? I finally watched that news report this morning. And I'm glad. I wish I didn't, to be honest with you. I wish. Because that's what it was. It was like, well, you know, we got to remember that faith is just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's about, yeah, was that one lady? It's about, that's very much my story. That's not it. Believe it or not, religion, the practices, they're not the same. They're not the things that are going to revive you. You understand? They won't. Having a Bible conference, which we're gearing up for, is not going to make us a sound church. I'm going to say it again. That's not going to make us a sound church. It's not going to bring revival. I could bring in the best preachers we know, and that is not enough for revival. We can have a meeting a day. I can learn how to preach. We will not have revival based on that. What must happen is it's got to be real. It has to be real. Let's take a look at what's going on here. As we're watching Moses, he took the tabernacle, he set up the tabernacle, and as anybody, as it says here, anybody who wanted to seek God would go to the tabernacle. Why'd you come here this morning? Why'd you come here? Was it because you were drug here? Was it because it was such and such a time? Was it because you didn't want anybody gossiping about you? You didn't want anybody to think that maybe you couldn't get your sidewalk shoveled. You couldn't get your driveway plowed, so you were stuck at home. You didn't want anybody to think you were lazy. You didn't want anybody to think there was a reason why or there's something wrong with your heart. So I've got to impress. Did it say anybody who wanted to impress people went out to the tabernacle? Is that what it says? No, it does not.
Right? Now again, these were trying times for the Israelites, but I would dare say that they had the least amount of problems when they were seeking God. They still had them, but they had the least amount of them here. Now, does it say anybody who wanted to feel good about themselves went to the tabernacle? No. Anybody who sought God went out to the tabernacle. I hope you didn't come here to see me. I hope you didn't come here to see sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. I hope you didn't come because you were hoping to maintain some kind of an attendance thing. After the first year, you should realize no bicycles will be given out for perfect attendance, although it is encouraged. I get you a sticker if you want. The fact of the matter is that we need to be seeking God. There's a breakdown in the relationship. Religion alone, the acts, the practices, they are not enough. The thief who died on the cross, he never attended a single revival. He never sat through a conference. He never had to go to a choir meeting. He never showed up for Sunday school. Never did a thing. And I dare say, I envy him for the closeness he had with Jesus in the end. Because he went through that struggle with him. I tell you what, our hearts need to be right with God. Not just the practices. Now again, it's not an either or situation. Our practices need to be good. They need to be God honoring. But I cannot force a relationship out of activity. I cannot force righteousness out of activity. What must be is a strong bond between me and God. A new HVAC technician was called out on his first solo run in the middle of the night. He was so excited to go out on his first run. He got out to the house and went straight to the furnace and he started doing all the things that you do. All right, number one, I go over to the thermostat, I kick her on. And then I go over to the furnace and I see what's going on and nothing's clicking on and nothing's moving. All right, so we're testing the power and the power's working and I'm checking all the safety switches. None of the safety switches are popped. What's happening? What's going on? And he's going through everything. Goes back over to the thermostat, pops the batteries out, puts brand new ones in there. He's checking everything. Cannot find the problem. So he finally does what nobody ever wants to do when you're trying to prove yourself in a company. He called his boss. The boss can't figure it out. You know what the problem ended up being? A break in the connection between the thermostat and the furnace. See, it wasn't a problem with the furnace's ability to heat. It's not a problem within us. When we've got a cold heart, the problem is not that we've lost religion. It's not that we've lost the practices. We haven't lost the Bible. We haven't lost our ears in the sermons. We haven't lost our minds. We've lost none of the ability. There's a disconnect between us and the regulator. That's what it is. There's a gap between us and God. Now, I tell you what, 100% of the time, if there's an issue in our lives that we've caused, it's because we ain't right with God. We need to have a close walk with Him. We need to have that communication. As we see here, pulling this verse apart, verse 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp afar off from the camp and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Verse 8, and it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. When it was time to worship, what did everybody do? They stopped. They stopped. And that used to be a big thing in our country, that Sunday you stop. You just stop. Right? What do I'm not going to do anything else. And I tell you what, sometimes we'll get busy in things. Even when we're sitting in the services, and I can't have toys up here. Right? Even in the services, we could be sitting there, and we'll be taking notes. And all of a sudden our notes become a grocery list. Right? And we see that we write a little note over to our spouse. Hey, are we going to A&W or are we going to Chick-fil-A? What do you want to eat? And we don't stop. Now listen, I've got a mind that goes about a mile a minute. I'm with you. Some of you, I'm with you. The ability to just sit still in your mind, I get it, that's hard. But this was so important to them that it overrode everything else. Dad, the chickens got out. Whoa, no, Moses is coming. Come on, come, Moses. Sit still. Stand still. This is important. Watch. This is important. And I would sit there and they would have that desire because, again, it was not about Moses. It was not about the road. It was not about the practice. It was never sit still by the door because that's what we've got to do. They were sat by their door so they could watch. They were sat by the door so they could see what would happen. Did you come to church this morning wondering what it is God would do today? When we stop wondering what God is going to do in our lives, when we stop wondering what God is going to do in our church, that is one of the many steps to prove that we've got some distance. Because I've stopped anticipating God's maneuvers. I've stopped watching. Right? When I would go help my dad do something, I'd go help the pastor do something. When I was first learning, where were my eyes always? I'd always be watching them. I learned real quick to follow after my pastor. Now, my pastor from Flat Rock, if you've never met him, he's about as tall as Charlie is. And my legs have never really grown. A stride for him was a light jog for me. And if he walked with purpose, it was at least a decent, it was a decent run. Right? There were times where I'd just have to, he'd stop to talk to some member of the church. I'd stop, get some water, check my Fitbit. All right. Get back after him. Listen, the point is this. There's some activity. I'm anticipating the next move. Whatever it is that needs to happen. Okay, Dad needs a hammer. Here you go. All right, Pastor needs me to go run and grab these copies. Here I go. I'm going to go grab them and I'm going to go do these things. And whatever it is, I'm going to anticipate the need. I'm going to anticipate the person I'm following. And that's what they were doing. What is God going to do? I come in and I don't sit there. Oh, there's Moses. Look at his hair today. Oh, there's Moses. Look at them shoes. Look at them shoes, Moses. Man, you got to wash your feet. What's God going to do here? What's God going to do? They froze. They stopped to look to see. There was a focus there. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. When the Bible tells us to meditate on the Word of God, what does that mean? I think we've allowed the word meditate to mean some things that God never intended for the word meditate to mean. Right? We think, maybe some yoga, some light tea or something like that. Shut everything off. To shut everything off. Don't sit there and, well, I'm going to meditate over the scripture for a while. Really look at what this verse says. But I've got the television on over here. I've got the radio going over here. I've picked the busiest time of the day in my house. Right? I met some people, well, my only time to study the Bible is right there at lunch during work. And there's a bunch of other people there. That's not how you do it. If the only time you've got is during lunch, all right, do what I used to do. Go out to your car. Go out to your car. If you're busy, go out to your car. You need quiet. Meditation is focus. I'm focusing on this, right? I'm shutting down all these other thoughts, shutting down all these other distractions. One thing. One thing. They froze. They stood at the door and they watched. Now, no doubt, there was probably a little chaos leading up to it. Hey, hug, get the kids. He's coming. All right, come on. Get the kids. All right. Everybody, shh. Here we are. I'd say, well, sometimes, you know, bringing the kids into the church, that's how it feels. Right? I kind of feel bad about that sometimes. It's like, I'll come in. All right, tuck in your shirt. And I do that because that's what the men in the church used to do to me. Matt, you gonna tuck your shirt in? Oh, yeah, sorry. There we go. All right, you gonna wear a belt next week? Oh, yeah, I'll get a belt next week. Right? There's focus. Focus on what? The things of God. And I'd say what is important. Those things are important. I think that we should come best foot forward. But man, if I see Moses and I'm over here washing dishes, and I saw Moses coming up, I'm coming back. All right. Here we go.
He's coming. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's see if that cloud moves today. Let's take a look at this. And that ought to be our desire when we come in, that we stop everything left outside. That could be so hard, can it? Just leave it out there. I wish it was as easy done as it was spoken. Oh yeah, I heard somebody this. I take all the worries and cares of my day, and as I walk through the door, I touch the mailbox, and I leave my work worries and cares right there, and I go inside, and I'm a normal functioning human being. You know what? I've touched doorknobs. I've touched mailboxes. One person, well, take your maintenance keys and just put them in the car and leave your cares and concerns there. Okay. You know what? Apparently my worries and my cares are not magnetic. They don't stay there. I'll get inside the house, get a phone call from work. Hey, it's on fire. Okay. It's hard to do to leave all the worries and the cares out there. But stop and focus. Stop and focus. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Because we tend to do the other. We tend to be active. We tend to be bouncing all over the place. But there has to be a time of stillness. And it can be hard depending on how things go. You know what? For Brother Mike, Brother Mike could probably stop anytime he wants during a day being retired and just get things done. I cannot at 2:00 in the afternoon stop, sit at my kitchen table and get anything done, right? Because it's Grand Central Station there. It is. Right? I got to pick a time, but there has to be a time of stillness. There has to be a time of focus. Being in church should be a time of focus. Sitting to your prayer time should be a time of focus. When you've got the Bible open, it should be a time to stop. And we pause out of respect. You know, when it comes down to the things of life, we all have varying degrees of importance for the different things we do, right? Doing this, doing that. Chores have different priorities. If I don't go grocery shopping, there's going to be a much bigger problem than if, say, I don't stop and wipe the dust off the ceiling fan, right? Different things have different priorities. But when it comes down to the things of God, it always has first priority. It's always the number one thing. Right, whether I'm giving my tithe or I'm fractioning out my time, I'm big on the schedule, I'm big on the calendar. Got to have a calendar. If I don't have one, I'm out there doing who knows what. Right? Jokingly, Xander brought into the grocery store a grocery list, and we made the list on the way inside the store of all the things that we needed. Right? We need tomato soup, and we need this, and we need that. And he sat there, and as we were going through the things, he was checking them off. And you know what I realized? After a while, I was really checking in with him. What else? It started off as being cute. Became necessary real fast. I need a time. I need a schedule. I need a list. I need those things. So you know what? When it comes down to the things of God, the very first thing I do is put in God's time. It's His first. Because I don't have any guarantee that I'm going to have any other time. I schedule His first. When we do our bills, what's the first thing we do? We schedule in the tithe. Well, He's preaching on money. Yes, He is. I'm going to do that every now and then, not too often, but every now and then, just so we remember that I'm still doctrinally accurate on things, right? When I do anything, God comes first. In my recognition of things, in my prioritizing of things, God comes first out of respect. Amen. Well, now wait a minute, Dad. We were gonna go get that fatted calf. No, just stay. Well, honey, wait a minute. I know that's the time Moses comes by, but I told my sister God comes first. Right? As Moses would go up there, they would all stop and pause out of respect. What respect do we have for God's house? What respect do we have for God's time? What respect do we have for His position in our lives? We also need to pause to reflect. You know, it's good every now and then to take stock of what you're doing. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the many things that trip us up is we stop considering where we are. We stop paying attention to where we are, right? For instance, you ever stop and ask yourself, am I where I'm supposed to be in the Christian walk?
Do you even know right now in your life where you should be, let alone where you are? You should know. How often do you go to prayer? When you have a problem, what's your first response? A lot of little ways to test where you are. But are you even aware of it? Where do I stand with the Lord? Am I where I'm supposed to be spiritually? Next question, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? It's a good question too. Religious activity won't give me revival, but faith has to have some works in it, right? Faith doesn't exist without works. Faith causes us to do things. What are the things that are being caused to work there? How under-exercised is my faith that there's nothing to prove that there's anything real here? There should be something. A tree in your backyard that's supposed to grow apples, you'd expect apples every now and then, right? During the growing season, you'd sit there and go, well, where is it? It's perfectly okay for you to sit there and check your life going, what fruit am I producing? What am I really doing? Am I showing the love, the compassion, the long-suffering? Am I being merciful? Am I being kind? Am I doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing? Where am I in the spectrum of success in God's eyes? And finally, we'd ask the question, am I relying on the Lord? Am I trusting Him? Am I following Him? If my heart breaks, do I go to Him? How much do I rely on His advice? Do I seek it? Do I make sure that it's a part of everything I do? Where am I? Now again, there's two ways to approach this kind of self-examination. Some of us, we get a real thrill out of looking at ourselves so we can find all the wrong things. So we can sit there and go, oh, that's not why you're supposed to do that. It's not. This isn't working, so I'm going to fix it. That's it. That's all the drama you need for it. Oh, I must be a horrible person. Even worse than that, you're a sinner. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop that. We're going to do this. That's going to be hard, absolutely, because you're a sinner. You're going to stop that, and you're going to do this. Well, brother, you've got no idea. Yes, I do, because I'm a sinner, and I had to stop that, and I did this. Well, isn't it ever hard for me? Absolutely, because I'm still a sinner. It's it. Amen. Oh, I must be some bad kind of a person. Yeah, we're sinners. We're not perfect. That's what we are. We got our faults, we got our bumps, we got our problems, we've got issues, we've got things we got to learn, and sometimes we're hard to learn things. It just happens. You understand that? That's going to be a part of it. That's just going to be it. Right? We need to be able to examine ourselves in a productive kind of a way. In a productive way. Right? We don't sit there and go, oh no, I'm not perfect. Of course not. Of course not. Oh, I have a hard time doing this. Of course you do. Of course you do. But what does that have anything to do with getting it done? So you're telling me you're going to fail every now and then? You're telling me every now and then you're going to look for that answer? You're going to ask yourself, what am I doing right? And you're going to find that you've done some things wrong? Of course you are. And then we address it. That's it. Now, I know that can be hard because we always want to stop at that pity break. But you can drive on through that thing, I promise. So we see the freezing. Everybody stops. Everybody watches, right? Out of respect, out of focus, out of reflection. We're going to stop and see what the Lord's going to do. Point number two, the fellowship. What happened once Moses got to the tabernacle? Well, verse 9, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Verse 10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. You know what? We're all good for saying that God is our Father, right? That's our relationship between us and God the Father. God is my Father. We're comfortable with that. Is God your friend? God your friend? I had a friend who sent me a text message. Haven't heard from him in a while. Sent me a text message. The relationship is important to me. It's valuable to me. And he sent me a text message, and I did what many of you did. My hands were busy. I saw the text message on my watch. I go, I'm going to get back to that. And then a whole day went by. 2 days went by. At the third day, I'm like, well, if I just text him back now, it's going to be rude.
That was just awkward, right? Then she pick up the phone. I am so sorry. I don't know how that. I'm so sorry, right? We because that's what you do to a friend. I acknowledge your feelings. I do things to keep you in my life, and I apologize when I do something wrong, because there's that care and that love there, right? I treat you like a friend. Do we treat God like our friend? Well, I don't think religion. Forget about what religion says about ties, not ties. Fancy shoes, skirts, whatever. Forget about all that. Do you love the Lord? Do you respect Him? Right? If I respect Him, my behavior is going to show it. Well, the Bible doesn't say you got to pray three times. You know why? I pray three times. Maybe not because of Daniel, maybe not because of this. But if I pray three times, it's because three times I needed to go talk to the Lord. Sometimes it's nine. Sometimes it's two. Right? I talk to the Lord because I need to go talk to the Lord. And I love how that's said. It doesn't say Moses went. It doesn't just say that Moses went and he prayed. Now the word prayed is valuable. I'm not trying to cheapen it. He talked to God. When prayer becomes a religious activity, it is useless. It is no deeper or greater than all those that mutter the same old words and wait to rub something like a talisman to try to bring some good luck. No, I'm going to go talk to God. Right? Oh, you know, brother, hey, can you pray for this? Absolutely. And you know what our response is when we're asked to go pray for something? We go and we talk to God. Right? It's not religious activity to get a thing out of it. Right? If I put enough prayer coins in here, I might get a shiny prize. No. I go talk to God. Lord, what's your will on this? Now, this is what I'd ask. This is what I want to see. And of course, I respect anything you choose to do, but this is what I really want. And if not, Lord, help and prepare my hearts and the hearts of the people around this area or in this situation for whatever it is you're about to do. Help us to see the purpose of your actions. And if not, Lord, give us the faith to follow along anyway until the one day we do. We go and we talk to Him. We don't sit there and please give me this, and please give me this, and please give me this, and please give me this. All right, check, I prayed today. Now, many of our prayers are like that. Intercessory prayers, request prayers, those kind of things, where we're asking for things, where we're supposed to do that. But it's not a religious activity. It's a conversation. It is. What would you do if I left my planner out and you opened up my planner? Please don't do that. That's very mean. My handwriting's atrocious. You pulled my planner out, and you saw 15-minute conversation with Brother Tim. And you sat there and you say, no, he called me out of the blue, and we had a really good conversation. And all of a sudden, he said, well, brother, I got to go. That's the other line. And you realize that I artificially started that conversation out of a chore, right? And I put an end to it, not because I really needed to put an end to it, but because I put a 15-minute time limit on it. You go, oh, I'd completely change your idea of the conversation, wouldn't it? And you know what that would do? That would completely change my end of the conversation of it. It'd be stilted. It wouldn't be organic. It wouldn't be real. It wouldn't be real friendship. It would be a plan. It's an activity. I see that in some of the preacher's books that they've got out there. All right, give them 5 minutes on the telephone. All right, and you got to schedule 7 or 8 of those a week. 5 minutes on the telephone for each. Now, not too long, because they'll talk your ear off. And I go, I've seen more humane characteristics or more humane conversation about how to raise livestock than they talk about how to do church. Well, here's the idea. What if I just reached out to a friend because they're a friend? What if I just had that conversation not because I was scheduled to, not because I had to, but because that's a real human being? I want to have that connection because I value their presence in my life and I want to be a good presence in their life. How about that? See, that's what we need. We need good friendship with God. We need that closeness to where if I'm having a hard time, I can reach out to Him. Right? The Bible says we're supposed to have that attitude of what? Continuous prayer. Always in prayer. Right? Now, does that mean I'm always running a dialogue in the back with Him? It could be. Or it could also mean at any given second I'm not doing anything I can't drop real fast to go talk to Him. Right? If you're sitting there and you've got some filth on the television, you're going to feel different about shutting that off and talking to Him for a second. That's a different scenario,
right? You've got to be in the right mindset, the right attitude. Why? Because at any given time, I want to go talk to him. We ought to have that relationship, not activity. Prayer should be about conversation and not just getting it done. Same thing with reading our Bibles and coming to church. It is not just something to check off the list. It is a conversation. Him talking to you that should result to you talking to him. I sat there and as I read these words in my Bible reading, it was a scheduled time to read my Bible. It was a scheduled passage that I had to read the Bible. And I came across it and I sat there and I said, Lord, I want to be this close to you. But that doesn't happen when we're just speed reading through it. And I guarantee if I gave a little bit of time for everyone to come up and talk about how their Bible reading has affected them one way or another, I'd at least get 3 or 4. And I'll give you that the rest of us probably were just uncertain about getting up and having to talk. Right? We've all been there, haven't we? You run across a passage of Scripture and you plan to do X amount of chapters, but you never got past that one passage for the tears in your eyes. That's what the Word of God does when it's a conversation. That's what the Word of God does when it's more than just religious activity. When it's more than just one way that we brag against each other. When it's just a talk between us and the Lord. No separation, just the love between the Father and the child. And we see that in the background, as all this was happening, people are praising God. They're telling God how wonderful He is, how thankful they are. They had a very precarious situation. They had no walls. They had no real military. There was nothing there to fall back on. Everything was always changing for them. And God always provided. We sit there and I have racked hours of prayer over water in our church. God brought it out of a rock for them. How many people out there pray for food, pray for health, and God gave it all to them in the morning? So they sat, and as Moses went up and that cloud came down, they praised God. Because every now and then when I come into the church, I wonder if God even wants to have business with me. Every now and then when I get down on my knees, I wonder if God even wants to spend that time with me. And you know what I find time and time again in His Word? Him saying, yes, I do. I do. See, it doesn't bother me when I sit there and think, well, why would God have such a close relationship with Moses when Moses did this and he did that and Moses did some sketchy things? Moses should be in jail for some of the stuff he did. Yeah. But aren't you glad God doesn't throw sinners away? Aren't you glad? I mean, not His people, right? I'm glad. Because I tell you what, right now, not a single one of us deserve it. We fall into a I deserve it mentality. You don't? I don't know why He continues to, after time and time again, if perhaps me breaking His heart or not being right by Him, I don't know what happens. I mean, I know what it is. It's unconditional love. But to experience, it's a wonderful thing. This unconditional love of God. And they all sat there knowing, you know what? We've murmured. We've complained. We've done things we weren't supposed to do. We've lost focus. We've raised up gods. We worshipped gods. We were a part of Egyptian things that we were never supposed to touch. We did all those things. And yet there's that cloud moving. There it is. I think what happens is we get a mental picture of ourselves and we think, you know what? I have finally gotten past the point where God is going to come down and talk to me. David proved it. I mean, David did one of by far some of the worst things you could possibly imagine. God still had mercy on him. Think about Paul, one of the most despicable people you'll ever find in the Bible, right? But at the same time, what a strong preacher. Now again, one does not cancel out the other. What cancels out the other is God's grace in our lives, that blood washing and us repenting and turning away from those things, right? There's never a scenario where, well, with closeness to God, every sin's possible, because you can't do both. Right. You can't. Right? Trying to hang on to God while maintaining sin in your life is like trying to shower with a cat. It's just not going to work. It'll tear you up. It will. A lot of people think they can do that. Well, I can have my secret private sin. I can do this on the side. And over here, well, I'll just get close. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't. You can't walk in the darkness and in the light at the same time. You got one or the other. That's why there's that illustration between light and dark. You can't have them both. You can't. So what do you need? You need to lay aside the dark. You need to repent of it. You need to move past it. But never once sit there and forget how powerful it is that God's grace is still an impact in your life. So we see there the fellowship. The freezing, the fellowship, and the foreshadowing. You see, as the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, and all the people were out there in their tent doors praising, we say, as you talk face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. You see, while Moses went home, Joshua stayed. Now, I don't think there was one that was right, one that was wrong. When I see Joshua, and forgive me, I'm going to say this as a preacher. I think you should say this when you're about to do what I'm about to do. I am conjecturing. This is not gospel. This is conjecture from a young man who served the Lord underneath other faithful men of God. You know why I think Joshua didn't leave? Because Joshua didn't want to leave. You know, Joshua was perfectly fine, probably sweeping the floors. And we don't know what he did, right? Conjecture. Was he sweeping the floors? Was he airing the tent? Was he trimming the wicks? Whatever it was he was doing, Joshua didn't leave. And I tell you what, there have been moments in my life where I didn't want to leave the house of God. Well, yeah, that was a great meeting. People, you know, it really seemed like the Spirit was there. The Spirit was moving people. And there was a lot of folks came down the aisle. And there was a lot of folks got right in the pews. And everything seemed to be going all right. And it was a good one, but everybody went home. I know, but let me stay just a little bit longer where the Lord moved. Let me stay just a little bit longer where I felt His presence. You understand? Why are people leaving church? They're not leaving church. They're leaving religion. They got the article right. They got the name of it right. You're leaving religion. Why? Because it's, I've lost all my toys. Because it's fake. No one's going to buy what's real. What's not real forever. They're not. There's only so long. Oh, but wasn't it fun when we were throwing it around? And I tell you what, we had the youth groups and we had the trips down south and up north and we did all this activity. And I tell you, didn't we have a good time? You'd have a good time. But people eventually move on. You know what Danielle and I used to do when we were teenagers? We used to play this game called volleyball. You remember volleyball? I loved volleyball. We had a place, stay up all night, play volleyball. It's volleyball. But you can use the walls to knock the ball. A blast. And I would bounce off of walls. I would bounce off the floor. We had a good time. And we'd stay there for as long as we could afford to rent the court. We get a bunch of people. You know what we can't do right now? I probably would not be up for some volleyball. Or at least not some all-night volleyball. I'd probably volleyball once or twice. Two or three games, but that's it. Man, we'd stay there for hours. You know, a lot of things are fun. They're not going to hold your attention forever. Right? You'll have good community here, and then you'll move on to a good community over there. You know what causes the Joshuas to stay? Wanting to be close to where the Lord moved. Man, that's it. If you ever find yourself going cold, right, and you're just going through the motions, you know what you've done? You've moved past the place where God moved. You've walked away from it. You're no longer sensitive to His movements. You no longer have that desire. And somewhere along the line, He stopped being your priority. And we think that just because I've got the activity, right? I'm by the tent, I'm praising. That wasn't good enough for Joshua. Joshua wanted to be, and you know what? Joshua didn't even have the relationship with God that Moses did. But he wanted it. And you can see that in almost everything Joshua did. Joshua honored God, put God first. That's why I'm drawing this conclusion. You look at Joshua's life in the scope of things. Joshua was a real good person. He had a real good relationship with God. He said that he waited for it. I'm going to sit here and be where God is. I'm going to be in the Word.
not because my pastor told me to read, not because it's a very religious thing to do or a studious thing to do, but because that's where he is. That's where his words are. I'm going to get in there. Right? It's the difference between answering correspondence, reading to get the book done, and this. I've read books just to get the book done. Right? I had an advanced English course in high school. And we had like two novels to read through every week. And you know what? You know how I read them through? I read them through so I could pass the test. That was it. Those books meant nothing. I couldn't even tell you what half those titles were. And there were some of them. There's some of them I know I've read because I bought them and I earmarked them and I still have them. Couldn't tell you what was in them. Why? Because they were cheap throwaway classic novels, right? Well, yeah, I got to read them for a test. All right, fine, I'll read them for a test and get absolutely nothing out of it. I'm sure it was a good story. Sure it was by great writers, but my heart wasn't in it. Why? Because how's my heart going to be in it if I just have to do it? But you know, there are books that I've read that I've taken my time. I've read through two or three times. Why? Because I loved it. I enjoyed it. The Word of God is not just a book to be read. It's that conversation. It's a letter from God to you. And in it might not be things that make sense to you all the time. In it might be things you can't directly apply in this moment. But those things are there for you. You got to reach your eyes into the book to get out of it what God put into it for you. It is all about the conversation, all about the relationship. In Joshua's devotion to the Lord there, we see a foreshadowing of the man that Joshua would become, of the leader Joshua would become. You tell me what kind of a Christian walk someone is going to have. I have to see the relationship between them and God. I read an article, they were talking about relationships that don't last too long. And they were talking about, and I got about halfway through it because it really was just like, it was the cotton candy of articles, right? It's garbage. But they're talking about how you could tell in a relationship how long things were going to last. And it was things like how close they sit next to each other, watching for warning signs. No. Show me how they communicate. Show me how they communicate. Danielle and I, we joke back and forth. And I know I've met some people, they joke back. But where's the heart in it? What's the heart? What's the relationship there? Right? Can we send that back? Are we doing things that are harmful? Are we doing things that are hurtful? And that's when it comes down to, show me the relationship between Joshua and God, and I can tell you what kind of leader he was going to be. Because when everybody else went home, he stayed in the tabernacle. When everybody else was, amen, and they closed the tent doors and went back into their suppers and they did the things that they did, Joshua stayed. Why? Because he longed for the presence of God. That's going to be the motivator, right? Well, what was it, February 6th? If I ask of you who did your New Year's resolutions this year, we're at to ask how many were still on. I wonder how many hands I would get. Not a lot of perfection. Now, many of you probably didn't even start one. And you know what? Good for you. Good for you for not failing at anything. But what's going to motivate me to hit my goal? Love. Love. Well, if I don't go to the church, that pastor is going to come knock on my door. You're not worried about me if you love God the way you should. You're going to... No, I'm going to be there because I want to feel his presence. Well, if I don't pray, I'm going to have to sit there and feel all bad about it when they get to preaching about it at church. No, it's because I need to talk to him. Not to check a thing off my to-do list, not to just get through the motions of the day, but because I desperately desire to talk to him. Well, brother, wait a minute. Now, what if I don't have that desire? I know I'm saved. But what if I don't have that desire? It's been too long since you've had it. You need to get back to it. Right? So I should fake it till I make it? No. You need to get down on your knees. Or whatever physical thing you can do. Some of you can't. You need to get right with God. You need to just do some business with God. You know, there are moments in everybody's life where just like Jesus, we need to come away and do some business with God. Really get the business done. Right, we're past the time now where the managers of the properties
that I used to work for would come away and we would spend 2 or 3 days sitting in a closed room going over the budgets and the financial liabilities of our properties. And if that sounds boring to you, you don't know the half of it. All right, what kind of things can we do to spice it up this year? Well, let's go get some fancy food, and let's put some candy and some Red Bull and some nice coffee. Like, you could not jazz that kind of stuff up enough to make it not boring. It was always torture to go through. It really was. There was nothing that motivated me to want to go to that. You want to know why? It wasn't my money. And to sit there and have to count light bulbs was mundane. It was boring. It was awful. Right? It just wasn't fun. But when it comes down to doing business with God, it's about correcting the relationship, not making up where the money goes, not counting light bulbs. Doing business with God is taking stock of the relationship between Him and you and making, well, those guarantees and putting in the effort. Right? If we were to try to fix a relationship between two friends, I would sit there and I would say, all right, listen, I know you guys have talked a lot, but let's discuss how much listening has taken place. Right? Go ahead, verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. You know what? Moses had some doubts. He says, Lord, you're telling me these things, and I'm not sure you're talking. I don't see it, Lord. You're saying the stuff about me. You're saying the stuff. If I've really found sight, let's go ahead and take a look at that verse 13 again. I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Listen to him. Listen. You talk all day, but do you listen? Do you hear what he has to say for you? Show me thy way. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to go. All right, listen. If I've got to set a schedule, if I've got to set my alarm to go off, this is the time I'm going to come to you, that's what I'll do until it becomes a natural thing for me, until it becomes a desire for me to do. If I've got to sit there and I've got to tell everybody in the house that at 11 o'clock p.m. I am dead to the world, whatever time, whatever date, whatever thing you've got to do to reestablish the relationship between you and God, you need to get that done. That's what it is. It is valuable to us not just to consider how much God means to us, but to put in the effort for the relationship. You ever lose a friend because you just lost touch with them? That's very much what's happening between some people and God. We've lost the relationship. Well, I just don't necessarily feel like talking to anybody right now. It's because it's been so long since you've actually talked to anybody. You've lost the care. You've lost the concern. Right? Now we could go all day introvert, extrovert. That's not really the discussion we're having here. The discussion we're having here is this is God. You need to reach out to him. You need to put that priority there. You need to look for his way of things. You need to value it. Joshua, though he didn't have the relationship, wanted the relationship. So what did he do? He stayed where God was. He stayed where God was. You know what I like to do? I like to listen to good preachers. I do. I like to hear what they have to say. I like to hear faithful people. I like to hear people who don't sit there and grouse and gripe and complain. And I like to be around people that say, hey, listen, this is what the Lord's doing in my life. I like that. I like to be where God's moving. I do. I like to have those kind of conversations. You know, I'll tell you this. We'll get to having those Fridays or those spiritual conversations during our men's and ladies' fellowships. Now, I don't go to the ladies' fellowships, but I'm sure they're nice. But sometimes in the men's fellowships, we'll hit on some real personal stuff. I like being there for that. You understand? I like that. I like hearing how God's moving in other people's lives. I like what he's meant to them. I like how he saved them. I like that. Why? Because I love my Lord and I love you. And I like to say, I want to be around that. We ought to have a desire to be where God is moving.
and lose focus and lose taste for the things that pull us away from those things. Right? Well, you know, it's really not good. I heard somebody say, really not good for a church member to miss more than X amount of services if they're able. It's good to have guidelines, right? I said that in Sunday school this morning. Ah, there's a certain number. But in my heart, if I'm physically able, there's no excuse. It really isn't. Right? To want to be where the things of God are. Right? Why aren't you praying? Well, you know, I've got excuses. We never say we've got excuses. We just make them, right? What? When was the last time you actually sat down and talked to God like a friend? Oh, you don't understand how busy I've been lately. The busier you are, the more you need to do it. The more I need him for. Right? Oh, I'm too busy to ask for help. I've got too much going on to stop and read. You have no excuse. Because the heart should have the desire to seek after those things. Right? Well, you guys got a lot of rules for religious activity. You know what? The rules are important. But they shouldn't be necessary. They should happen automatically. Right? As James tried to say, that relationship between faith and works. Faith creates the works. Show me a faith without works, and I'll show you a dead faith. Isn't that what he said? You show me somebody who's supposed to be saved and changed by the grace of God, and nothing's growing, something's not right. Something's not right. So if you're looking at your heart and you go, something's not right, that's your job for this afternoon. You get alone with God. You get serious with God. And you start treating him like a friend and a father. Instead of just the rule maker, instead of just the boss, you open your heart back up to that relationship. And I'll tell you what, that's where revival is going to come from. I pray so hard for revival among our kind of people. I do. I want to see revival. But revival is not going to come in religious experience, right? At Flat Rock, we had a revival service. Right? In July, no, it wasn't July, it was August, right? In August, you always knew such and such a week in August, we had revival services. You know what? Sometimes revival services would come and go, and sometimes there'd be revival, sometimes not. But activity is not the source of revival. And activity isn't necessarily the proof of revival. What's revival? The restoration of the heart. And where's the restoration of the heart? It's in an opening of the relationship between me and God. Right? When things are right between me and him, I have the desire to repent. I have the desire to be more active in church. I have the desire to sing his praises more. I have the desire fixed. Whatever was broken, my desire is fixed. Because what happened first was the relationship between him and me was restored. Don't let things like sin and busyness get in the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,